Well, good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. Delighted to have you with us this morning. We are in for a special treat with a guest speaker this morning, and I'm very delighted to be able to introduce him. Pastor Celso Namuco is a pastor that I've met on two occasions, a missionary trip to the Philippines in 2004 with Pastor Larry Hoffman. We went with VMI and taught foundations and taught hermeneutics. And then in 2008, we went back a second time, not with Pastor Hoffman, but with Pastor Cliff. In fact, it was just a month before his ordination, I recall. And Cliff and I and my son, Bob Three, joined us on that occasion. And Pastor Celso was also in attendance at that conference as well. The Philippines, if you're not familiar, is in Southeast Asia. And I forget how many islands, hundreds of islands, thousands of islands, but the main northern island here of Luzon, you always fly into Manila, and you're here on this northern island. And if I zoom in fact, that's good right there. You'll see Lucena on the bottom right, southeast of Manila. This is where Ralph and Cindy LaRosa are located, and where we've gone a couple of different times. Pastor Leo Ordiales is here in Manila. It's another pastor that we work with, that Pastor Celso works with. And then Celso is down here in Batangas. So we've got kind of a nice little triangle there. And most of the ministry that we've done in the Philippines for the two trips I did make was in within that particular triangle. Only once did we come down to Celso's city here at Batangas, and we took a ferry down to the neighboring island, but that was really for R&R and not so much preaching on that particular occasion. Wow, and there it is. Just one little quirk. I'll show it to you, and then I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Celso to deliver his word this morning. But you'll notice this is a place that Cliff and Bob and I went to. Do you see this lake? This is a lake on an island, of course, because the Philippines is an island, Luzon is an island. And so this is a lake on an island, and in the middle of that lake is another island. And in the middle of that island is another lake. And in the middle of that lake is another island right there. And so you have an island and a lake on an island and a lake on an island. And it's one of the most unique places on planet Earth where you're going to find that. And we had several adventures going up and even more adventures coming down and different things. But the Lord is faithful, so we can appreciate that. All right. Pastor Celso, would you please come and bring us the word this morning?
Good morning. I'm Pastor Celso Namuco from Batangas, Philippines. Pastor Bob already showed where I grew up. I grew up in that province, actually. It's a 2 hours drive down from Manila, the capital region. I grew up most of my childhood days, but I studied in Manila area, where most of our seminaries are. I studied in International Baptist Theological College and Manila Theological College back then, 1993 to all the way to 2006. I got married in 2007, and God gave us, my wife and I, gave us four crazy children. here are those. Please show up. Our family picture. So I can just introduce to you my four children. My eldest son, his name is the clicker. Okay, yeah, sure. Oh, right there. Oh, okay. So right there is my eldest son. His name is Joseph, and then my only daughter Eunice, and then. My third is, his name is James, and the youngest is John. So biblical names. But you're gonna be confused if I tell them their nicknames. So JC, SJ, and EJ. So kind of confusing to you now. But my youngest son, which was born November 11, 2014. Yeah, this is my youngest son. So he was born pretty much normal, 7.2 pounds. But after a month, when we went to the doctor, his pediatrician really surprised, for he did not gain the supposed to be normal weight. At least, she said, the doctor said, at least 500 grams to 1 kilo. But then he just gained 200 grams. So she a little bit worried, and she's not a specialist on something. So all those tests that the premature baby would need to undergo, so my son did it. So we need to go through all those tests. To the echo, you know, the cardiologist, went to the cardiologist, went to Metro Manila, where all those good doctors are and hospitals. So we went to the nephrologist, you know, specialist on kidney. And then the problem is they couldn't find anything. So, and then we went to the endocrinologist, which is on the gland. So they want to make sure if he has a case of dwarfism. So, and all those kind of problems with growth hormones. So they didn't find anything. So they said he's perfectly okay. Oh, perfectly okay. I gotta show you another. Well, Pastor Bob, can you help me out with the other picture, so I can show you what he looks like after about maybe 1.5 months. So, yeah, that was December 27. If you are a parent and they keep on saying to you that he's just normal and all these tests, all these laboratory tests show that he's okay, you know, you won't believe it, you know. So we just prayed, and my wife is a medical technologist. She worked in a PCMC, Philippine Children Medical Center, that we call a White House for child diseases. So, you know, we are on the center of where all those unique diseases are. So she saw all those problems with children. So I don't know if it's an advantage or disadvantage. But she kind of like so advanced in thinking, and she said, maybe he is like those patients that we saw when I was working there. But she's no longer working at PCMC, in Philippine Children Medical Center. But then we prayed, and after 2 weeks, those doctors that collaborate to examine my child, my baby, now finally realize what the problem is. So thank God. And they said, okay, the problem is his blood. He's anemic. So the blood, he needs a red blood cell to grow. So he need to undergo a iron therapy. So that is what he needs only. And she said, and that's good news. Our doctor says, the one who's overseeing all those medical tests, she said that two blocks away from your house is the specialist that we know for hematology. So, wow, that's probably what we need. So we don't need to keep coming back to Manila, coming up there 2 hours, then 2 hours back. So, and that shows here in March 17, 2015, that my youngest son already gaining weight, and you can show in my family's pictures that he cuts up among his pals, okay, because he has some same age group in our church. We're pretty much a young church. Our population generally in the Philippines is a young generation, 32 years below, comprise 70% of our population. So you could imagine the church generally in the whole Philippines is very young generation. So that's good news for us, because that will give us energy, vibrancy for the church to grow. But you need to teach them, grounded them in the Word, so that when they grow up and become adults, responsible citizen, and a kingdom builder. So, and now the Philippines is right in the heart of, all those religion. You know, when you go down, there is Indonesia, the largest Muslim population in the world, not in the Middle East, but in Indonesia. Yeah, that's why Mindanao, our southern part of the Philippines, been influenced by the Muslims, but then we stopped them right there. And then on our north side is the largest communist country, which is China. Okay, and then on the western part are the Buddhism in Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar. So all those religion, Eastern religion, we are surrounded. But right now, Philippines and the rest of the Christianity there, the evangelical like we are here, we're sending missionaries all around those countries that we have. And there's something going on spiritually in Indonesia and in China. And pretty much the Filipino believers are very much involved with all those things. In fact, we have a missionary to China. Her name is Raquel, and she was enrolled in a university there in one city in China. And she's sharing the gospel. And her front is only she needs to study. And she got a student visa. She cannot just say, I'm a missionary, because it's closed. And in Indonesia, too, we got some short-term mission that one of our members also going there with the team. And in Indonesia, especially in Jakarta, the capital region, there are a lot of conversion going on with all the Muslims. And the church is growing there also in Indonesia than any other parts of the world. So all those things happening, including, I didn't even mention what's happening in our country. The massive conversion of people, that all the system that we have here in America, while we need to put them here in a baptism class, and then put here in a 3-4 step journey of faith, we can even not apply that because of the people that are flocking to the church, and we can just massively baptizing them. So those were the things. For example, in the last couple of years, we already planted a church that's almost the same size as ours, although we got a small building that we cannot contain a lot of people. But I can show you, and Pastor Bob maybe saw one of the pictures of the children one of the group of children that we hold. And in one Sunday, our building that just can accommodate 70 people, we got 110 children right there. And they're just sitting on the floor. And we feed them, and we nourish them with the Word as well. So those are the things that's happening in our country. Maybe not in terms of economy, but they said we are improving as well. But in terms of spirituality, I would say that we can be of help that a lot of things that going on is spiritually in my country, we can somehow impart and bring back those things that you did to us 100 years ago. All those missionaries from the United States that come over to the Philippines in the 1900s and share us the gospel, converted the Filipinos from nominal Christianity, which is, you know, the Roman Catholicism, into evangelical and true Christianity. And now we wanted you to also share these blessings and spirit-filled life, so that I want to say there are no spiritual things that's happening here. I see a lot of churches also that are growing here in the United States, but I would say that I'm praying that most of the churches here will also be growing, not only numerically, but spiritually as well. So I want to share with you in Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to share this word of encouragement. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 to 16. Joshua chapter 14, verse, actually it started in verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But the others who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. And you yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. So claiming the promised land. So Caleb is one of the two spies that Moses sent to Canaan, and he got a positive report, same as Joshua. The rest of the 10 were given a negative report. They gave a discouragement report, I would say, to the rest of the Israelites. So the point is, these 10 saw the danger, saw the problem, but the two saw the opportunity. The majority measured the giants against themselves. But Caleb and Joshua measured the giants against God. Caleb said, or he had faith in the power of the Lord. To Caleb, God was greater than the biggest giant. But But Caleb is not naive. He was not naive. He knows that he gonna face giants and fortified cities. But he did not minimize the problem. He did not minimize. But he just measured the problem against God. He magnified God against these problems. Notice all these traits that he had. In verse 8, he followed the Lord fully. So that speaks of obedience. God honors obedience. If we could teach one thing to our children, maybe we could not send them to the best school or the best education they could ever have, or provide them with material things. But if we were able to teach them and train them to listen to the voice of God, hear the word of God, and follow the will of God in their life, then they will be secured throughout their life, wherever they go. That's why we homeschool our children. That's one thing that we want to share with our children, the faith that we have, my wife and I. We couldn't provide them with the best education for now, but we wanted them to know that the Lord really interested in their life, and the Lord wanted them to build God's kingdom. In verse 7 also, you can see that Caleb has a brave heart. He's courageous. It doesn't mean that he has no fear. He had that fear also in his heart, but he did not show it. He only just opened it to God. His weaknesses. Of course, he has weaknesses. According to those who are training horses, the race horse that are winning, they're running on the first half of the lap by their strength, but on the second half by their heart. So that shows about Caleb, because on the first part of his life, 40 years since he became a spy for Moses and the rest of the Israelites, and the second half of his life, when he was 85 years old, when he about to say that they will conquer Hebron as the inheritance for his children and for his tribe, he said that 85 years old. So could you imagine that? So he had that brave heart. And number 3, he is consistent. He's consistent. In verse 10 and 11, the first obstacle, I'll show you all these obstacles that he overcome. The first is the obstacles of friends. Okay, his peers, you know. The majority of the spies, which is 10 of them, did not agree with Caleb and Joshua. He had to stand alone. He was outvoted by the peers or friends and ridiculed by the masses. The rest of the Israelites believed the 10 spies. And then, the obstacle of racial prejudice. It may surprise you to find that Caleb was not a Jew. Okay? So, he is a Kenizzite, as what the Bible tells us. So, that means he was a Gentile. Perhaps there were those who looked down on him because of his race. And I suspect there were. And maybe they just see the color of his skin, but not the content of his character. So they looked down to him. And Caleb did not let this deter him from following the Lord fully. He was born a Gentile, an outcast, and he became a child of the promises of God. But according to Hebrew customs, if you join Israel And you were adopted into one of its tribes. Your name was added to the genealogy. The same way when Ruth married Boaz, and Ruth was, she was a Moabite. But she belonged to the lineage or the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same way as we are, we too are born outside of the family of God, because we're born sinners. If you won't believe that, you know, if you are raising a kid, you don't teach them to sin. It's natural. You don't teach them to lie. Even we are homeschooling our kids, I say, oh, the environment's affecting them. But we're the only people that are around them. Most of the time. So I couldn't believe, you know, the sin that is in the race of, you know, Adam. It's in Romans 3:10. No one is righteous. And Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then even though we were born outside the family of God, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are being adopted and become part of the family of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Or we can call God our Father. And Jesus Christ even mentioned in John chapter 15, verse 15, I will no longer call you a servant. I will call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know the business of his master. But I will call you friends because I will go to the Father, and I will send you the Comforter, and He will be with you forever. So the Spirit that is in Christ is the same Spirit that we have. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is in us. So that we may be able to understand His will. His will for us. His will for the kingdom. And we can always live according to His plan. And the third thing that Caleb overcome is the obstacle of age. At age 85, Caleb is not ready to quit yet. Even at the age of 85, he had not lost his enthusiasm for the Lord on his faith in God's power, as showed in verse 13 and 14. Even boasted it that he is as strong, okay, at his disposal, you know. And not idle. Age is no barrier in doing God's will. God keeps His people alive as long as He wills, as long as they need to be in order to fulfill all that He has planned for them. I got saved when I was 11 years old. I'm a typical Filipino child. I was born in a Catholic family. And at that summer of 1988, so I wanted to help my parents so that on the next school year, I will have some funds to support my education. So I'm selling popsicle during summertime, okay? And summertime in the Philippines is pretty much like Texas, you know, warm. But we got more humidity than you have here. So the popsicle could help a little bit. So I was going around the neighborhood, and then I got my popsicle box with me, and then I saw a group of children along the road, and they have some kind of study. So I ring my bell, you know, that catch up attention. But the teacher, you know, look at me without indignation or, you know, anything that will show that she was upset. But then she was so accommodating and said, Because I'm a little boy, and probably she sensed that I can be part of that group. So she said, okay. Her name actually is Hilda, I can still remember. And then she said that, come and join us. So after this meeting, these children are going to have snack, and we will buy the popsicle that you're selling. Oh, that's a good deal for me. You know, think like a businessman, huh? So, so this is the best deal I could ever have today. I will no longer walk around, you know, trying to sell all the popsicles with all my sales stocks. I don't know if it's doing me good. But then right now, I'm just sitting around, listen, and then sold out after. So that's a pretty much a good deal for me. But then the story I could remember is Lazarus and the rich man. Okay? So at the end of our class, Teacher Hilda told me, okay, can you come back tomorrow so we can, you know, have a snacks again, popsicle, maybe a different flavor? Okay. I said, yeah, sure. But then it was actually Tuesday that day, so I went back on a Wednesday. I did not started on the first day, which is normally Monday. So I went back there Wednesday, and I did not bring my popsicle box. Of course, the popsicle as well. So Teacher Hilda asked me, where's the popsicle? I said, you know, Teacher Hilda, I was really blessed by the word. I don't want to be the businessman, the rich man anymore. I want to be the Lazarus. Okay? So pretty much sink into my heart since that day. So, and Aunt Nellie, which is the one that's making that popsicle for me to sell, she's helping me out a lot of times. And Aunt Nellie, she was retired at 65 at that time. Retired public school teacher. And she was a Christian too. So when she went to Canada, because her son was there working, and she stayed there for about maybe a year with her husband. And they're attending an evangelical church like this in Ontario, Canada. And the Lord moved into her heart on that stay. So she went back to the Philippines after a year. And I visited her 2 months ago, February, on her birthday. You know, she just pay a visit and pray for her, because I know she's that not getting any younger. She's now 85 year old. She went back purposely. She could have stayed in Canada with her son. And she had that list of 1,000 people in her journal. And at the end of the names are all check, check, check. And she showed me. And I asked her, what does it mean, all this check? And she said that she shared the word of God to all these her friends of her, and some of them are our relatives. All of them, 1,000 in a span of 20 years since she came back from Canada at the age of 65 to 85 year old. She could just barely walk right now. But then she was able to share, and one of those in her list, I could remember still, but he already passed away. That is her colleague in that public school, a principal, which we know is a popular gambling guy, a cockfighter, you know, taking up rooster, Texas rooster, okay? That's popular in the Philippines, the Texas rooster, because they're good in fighting, you know. yeah, Texas. The term Texas in our country is very much popular in terms of cockfighting. Okay. But this principal that passed away already about maybe 6 years ago, he became a Christian before went to the Lord. Served the Lord as one of the deacons in the church where I pastored. I didn't even know that because I already left the church where I grew up to become a pastor, and I moved to Manila at that time. I'm pastoring a church there in our capital region. And I didn't know that my aunt were the one who shared the gospel to this man, Mr. Griselio Aguila. That's the name of that former principal of our public school, where I also attended. So that shows that the age doesn't matter in fulfilling the will of God in your life. Caleb asked for the hill country surrounding Hebron, the land that had not been conquered yet and still inhabited by some of the strongest people in Canaan. You see, the greatest worry that you might have, the greatest obstacle that you might have right now in front of you, would be the greatest victory that God will bring to your life. In fact, Caleb requested the very location that had put the most fear into the hearts of his countrymen, into the hearts of these 10 spies. He wanted that for him, so that he was not boasting on his ability because he had all this incapacity in an old age like 85. But then he just wanted to show and encourage his people that the Lord's will for us is to conquer this land. He claimed it. He claimed the promise of God. And God honors those who do not quit. In Mark 11:24, which is what I claim, praying about the mission trip that I had, people coming here in the United States, this trip, I had about 5-6 trips already here in the United States. But this one stands out to me. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The word holy means, that was mentioned pertaining to Caleb, wholeheartedly. It means with you, whole heart. In fact, if you look back through the chapter 14, you will see that the key word about Caleb's service before God was the word wholeheartedly. Consistently. Wholeheartedly. And verse 15 of Joshua chapter 14, it end up with the statement, and the land had rest from war. I showed you the picture of my youngest son, and that shows the war that we would be in. We did not ask that battle, but I need to undergo that battle that I did not declare, a war that I did not even ask for. But the Lord let me go through that. And I learned four lessons after that battle. Number one, I will go through this because it is your will, Lord. Number two, I will go through this because nothing that happens to me that you are not aware of, because he's omniscient, God. Number three, I will go through this because if you can't change it, whenever you want to, you can change it, Lord. Whenever you want to. And number four, I will go through this because it will prepare me for greater ministry and will give me courage after this. I will be more strong, stronger person, stronger Christian for the battle ahead. But the sweetest part of this is the land had rest from war. Our family had rest from that war that we had. But it doesn't promise that we wouldn't have a war again. But then it only showed that the Lord is in control. It is in control of all the things that are going on right now in our life. the sufferings, the problems that we had, He is in control. We just want to trust. He just want to trust Him. So our land would rest from the war. Let us all pray. And what I would ask Pastor Bob to pray.
Father, we do thank You for Your faithfulness, and I thank You for this word of encouragement, for the lessons that You've provided for us and in Caleb, and for the faithfulness that You've manifest with Pastor Celso and his wife and their children. We ask for Your blessing upon them as they continue in their ministry, and thank You for this time of fellowship. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.